When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now that's a promo. That is a promo. I don't know how often we hear the John Sterling call of either of those home runs. That was the Scott Brosius one on game five, to do the exact same thing to Kim that happened in game four with Tino. I feel like I've heard the Tino home run more than I've heard the Brosius. But maybe not. But that's the home runs we don't typically hear. That's a good one. I mean, what a night that was. What a night that was. What a couple of games those were. I mean, in that, if you think back, I'm sorry, I'm riffing here off that promo, but we're talking about teams that we fell in love with and players we're falling in love with, like Brunson. I mean, the whole city fell in love with that 0-1. I mean, we all fell in love with Mike Piazza for that home run. I think that has a lot to do with why we love Mike Piazza and how even Yankee fans can love and respect Mike Piazza. That home run in the first game back after 9/11 was just special. No other way to put it. Just talking about it gives you goosebumps. It was one of the great moments ever. And then that World Series team. And even though they lost those games at Yankee Stadium, those two nights where they were being absolutely shut down by the pitching of the Diamondbacks and you know, Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, and to come through against the closer in that way, I mean, come through against Kim that way, and Brosius hits that home run, and they walk off, and, you know, obviously, Mr. November is born during that series. I mean, just...
And Kay was on the call for that. I know
that's what I thought. That's what I was just going to say. The Tino one, he's on the call for?
I know the Jeter one.
Oh, the October.
Mr. October. It's Kay with John in the booth, but they were switching off, so Kay had that call.
Right. No, John switched off with every broadcaster until he got to Susan. Then he did all the play-by-play. But he switched off with Michael Kay. Then he switched off for a few years with Charlie Steiner, because Charlie Steiner famously has the Boone walk-off home run. And I think that was the end of it.
People are like, oh, okay.
People? Yeah. People named John Sterling.
Do you think, I actually had this thought today.
Yeah.
Do you think, if there's a playoff run this year, do you think Kay with... It kind of being, you know, an in-between period for the Yankees broadcast. You think Kay tries to insert himself back into the radio booth?
No, I mean...
Because he's not going to have, right? He's not going to have TV calls.
That's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought.
The reason we couldn't do it is because Odyssey and the other place and that.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he probably can't go on Odyssey. Right? He probably can't go on The Fan. That's probably the problem. But, I mean, it wouldn't be unique. We didn't... Gary Cohen came on and did radio he would step into the booth a little bit and came and did some. I was going to say, I could see John still
coming back.
I would not be surprised. Not every game of a series, or maybe not even every inning of a game. But I could see John, who already did part of this season, like coming back to kind of bookend it at the end and doing a little bit more. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if we hear John again at some point this year. After that, I think he'd probably be done and wouldn't do it anymore. But I could see the idea that he's already done parts that he did the beginning of this year. He's called the Juan Soto home run. He's had moments. They didn't find he did it at the beginning part of the year where they're probably not going to announce a replacement. I wouldn't think. I think it's going
to be... Well, that's what the article said, the Martian. I mean, who knows? The people here know better than the articles.
Yeah.
But they said it's not going to be named until the offseason.
Right. Which, I mean, is always subject to change. But, I mean, then it's not going to happen. So the idea that his replacement technically won't be acknowledged or confirmed, despite, I'm sure, Emmanuel and Shaq will do an incredible job. I'm sure they'll do great. They're both very good at it. And whoever else they bring in.
They said, the article said two other names, Brendan Burke.
Yes.
And Ryan Rucco.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Rucco has done TV. Brian Burke did do when John was off the first time last year or 2 years ago. He was in the mix, did a week, did a road trip or something. Does a great job. So I could definitely see him being reintroduced to the booth there. But whoever it is, it won't be announced, like you said. So I could see John coming in and still doing a game here. I'm not saying he'll come in and just take over the playoffs.
But if it's the championship series or a World Series,
If they're in the World Series, I would be shocked if John doesn't do a couple innings of the World Series.
And also, it almost sounds like it would be easier for him to do road games because you're just at the location and there's the transportation back and forth.
Right.
Whereas here, him having to drive home and back to the Bronx was part of what made it sound more difficult.
Yeah, maybe. If he just goes, bites the bullet, gets on a train or gets on a plane and goes somewhere, and then he's just in the city hotel, they shuffle him from the hotel to the ballpark. Maybe. I guess that makes sense. But I wouldn't be surprised if John, on some level, and I don't think he would do an entire game. I don't think he'll do the pregame. I don't think he'll do the game. But I could see him coming in and doing a few innings or just being a guest in the booth. And, like, I could just see that. And I would love it. It would be great. Can you imagine him getting one final chance to do, like, ball game over, World Series over? Like, how could you not have him in the booth for that moment?
Don't touch the money, but yeah.
I'm touching the money. I don't care. It's a conversation at 2:12 in the morning. I could touch the money. The money's asleep right now. No one even knows what's going on. It's so far in advance. They played 18 games. I'm talking about the World Series. It's so far in advance. I'm not the Rangers touching the money. I'm not the Knicks touching
Wait,
the
so you
money.
Don't think they'll win the World Series?
I didn't say that. I said it's so far away. It's so silly to call it touching the money. Touching the money is like in the moment. I'm not going to touch the money on a series between the Knicks series. Like, that's touching the money. Mick and T-Neck. What's up, Mick? Hey, buddy, you singing? What do you got?
Chris, is this you?
It is. Mick, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
First of all.
Can you do me? Yes. Can you just? Never mind. Go ahead, Mick.
I thought for a second,
can you say something? I'm trying to think of. Can you say, get up? Mickey loves you.
I could, but okay. I won't.
Okay. I thought you might want to play into the mic. I'm sorry, kid.
Yeah, I do have my guitar in hand. Uh-huh. I told Marco that I was 11 and a half when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
In Christmas 63, my mother bought me a ukulele. But by the end of February 1964, I had a guitar. And the first lead I learned to play was I Should Have Known Better. It's very easy. And when I played that by April, let's say, I said, hey, it's not that hard. All right, if I could continue talking to you, I think you have a great show for three reasons. You have an excellent voice. Although you're singing, don't quit your night job. All right, uh-huh. Number one. Number two, you are a big Beatles fan, but not to my level. And number three, baseball is your favorite sport.
Yes.
Now, I just happened to turn it on in the living room, and I heard you mention Julia. Now, what a coincidence. The woman who cuts my hair is named Julia.
I mean, it's so much of a coincidence, Mick, I'm going to end it right there. I mean, Julia cuts your hair. John sang the song. I mentioned it. Ugh, how is the world so small, John? I'm sorry, I couldn't let it continue. I love him. But I had to stop. This is why they tell you, don't do Beatle talk. Michael and Little Ferry, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Chris?
What's going on?
Dude, I was laughing that whole call. That was awesome. That was awesome.
What's going on?
All right, so real quick, I'm actually a huge Indiana Pacers fan. I've actually called you before. We spoke about the egg sandwich. I really want the Pacers Knicks round two.
We spoke really about the egg sandwich. What egg sandwich did we talk about?
The egg sandwich. You get like the Taylor ham, egg and cheese, extra egg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and the Chipotle mayo.
And it, exactly. The Chipotle mayo. That's like the Chris McMonagle special.
There you go.
I'm really excited. I think Indiana's going to beat Milwaukee. There's no Giannis. Damian Lillard's not 100%. I think Indiana's going to take him. I think the Knicks are going to be in Philadelphia, and I really want like the Pacers Knicks. I've actually been a Pacers fan since the mid-90s. Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, McKee, NBA and NBC. Mm-hmm. I want the Pacers Knicks round two.
Okay, yeah. Listen, you want Knicks Pacers next round?
Yep.
Well, clearly Knicks, you don't want to lose, do you?
No, definitely not.
So, I mean, you're saying you want them instead of Philadelphia is what you're saying?
Yes.
Why, you're more afraid of Philadelphia?
I just want the Knicks. I just think that'll be really good. I think that'll be a really good test because even though if it's Pacers-Philly, the Pacers would have home court. The Pacers are the 6th seed, Philadelphia, they're like the 7th seed. But I just think the Pacers-Knicks, I think that would be good for the NBA. I would think that would be good for the area. Just like it was last year with the Knicks and the Heat, I just want the Indiana Pacers and the Knicks, and I just think the Pacers can win. I think the Pacers are going to be this year's version of like the Miami Heat. I think the Pacers are really good. The odds for them to win the NBA championship were plus 20,000 within a week without even playing a game. It actually dropped down to plus 6,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, plus 20,000 down to 6,500. Well, yeah, I mean, they lost Giannis. Or we'll see how much they lost Giannis. I can't get John's call. That was John, right? I can't get John's call out of my head.
Mick.
I'm sorry, of course, Mick. If he would have said that, I would have let him go on quicker. Get up, you son of a bitch. Because Mickey loves you. And he sounded like, I thought he was going to start singing. Did you hear the guitar?
I heard it.
The electric guitar on him.
Yes.
I was just, I don't know. I should have let him go into song. I was afraid he was going to break into song. I wasn't sure how far it was going to go.
Afraid? I was excited he was going to break into song.
I know. I should have let him. Mick, if you're listening, call back. I was too abrupt with you. I apologize. I take it all back, Mick. I'm sorry.
Had he sung the song to me on hold, I mean,
Well, what did he say to you on hold? Or what did he say to you when he was talking to you? You put him on hold right away?
He started talking about the Beatles. I was like, all right. Yeah. And I put him on hold and wrote Beatles.
That's how we do it around here. That's the fine producing. What? Oh, God, please stop. Hold on, Beatles.
That's probably why he thought I was Marco, because I put him on hold so quick once he started talking about the Beatles. Actually, in Baltimore, that's how it worked. If you produce the shows, you had to do the updates also. So,
is that so?
I did. Well, yeah, they hired like 5 whole producers.
Yeah, sure.
The whole place. So, yeah, that was one of my responsibilities as a producer, was an update anchor.
Update anchor. How about that?
I did the traffic reports too.
Oh, look at you. Anything else you do?
No.
No, that's it? No other, nothing else on the resume you want to bring up right now? Good. Sales? What else?
I don't know.
Huh?
I'm a chef.
You're a chef?
I consider myself a chef.
What do you mean you consider yourself a chef?
I like to cook. And I take pictures of it and post it on Instagram.
Well, of course you do. Of course you do. Who doesn't? Well, like, what do you mean, like, you like to cook? What's a dish? Because I like to cook, too. I make egg sandwiches. I grill burgers and steaks.
I went to Mick is calling back.
Yeah, let Mick come on. Put Mick right on.
Gotcha.
Just put him up there. Don't even screen him. Just bring him right to me. Push the button. Come on, Mick.
There
you go, Mick. I'm right here. I apologize. I was short with you. I had some other calls. I apologize. Julia cut your hair?
Yes, she does. In fact, I'm planning to see her tomorrow. You want to talk about coincidence?
You're going to see her tomorrow. Have you ever sang Julia to her?
First time I met her, and she told me her name was Julia.
Sure.
I said, oh, do you know the Beatles? She said, yeah. She said, they have a song named after you.
Yes.
Actually, it's John's mother's name.
Correct.
And she was familiar with it. Now, I have the Beatles' complete chord song book. And I opened it to page 202, where they have all the chords and all the lyrics to Julia, right here. Everybody knows the first verse, but verse 2, Julia, seashell eyes, windy smile, calls me So what? Same? Okay. You know.
Yes,
anyway,
I do.
Two questions I want to ask you.
Yes.
See if you really are a true Beatle Paul McCartney fan.
Okay.
What's Paul's first name?
Paul's first name. Wait a minute. It's not Paul. It must be James.
Bingo. You got it. Okay. Second one.
I think I don't know his first name.
There's one song that I was playing when you connected me first time. That just John and Paul combined to record.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess?
It's a song that just the two of them recorded.
Right. Just the two. Paul played the drums like he liked to do.
Yes.
And I don't know if you happened to mention Why Don't We Do It in the Road, which is all Paul.
I don't know. No, I think Ringo's on the drums.
I don't.
Okay, I'll double check that. But I think I don't think it's just Paul. I think him and Ringo went off to a back studio and did Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
Well, you do know that Paul liked to play drums.
Yes, I do.
And of course, his first album was all him.
He did two more of them, McCartney 2 and 3, yes.
Well, I didn't know, but I remember the first one came out, and one critic called it like some form of masturbation because he was doing everything himself. But here it is. What about what I think it was? Pretty sure. Just John and Paul.
And of
course, you know, all these solo songs that they did individually was towards the end when they were breaking up as a collective group.
Correct. Right. And they stopped touring and writing songs together as much, yes.
Yeah. So, John and Paul, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It was released in the summer of 1969. And I remember...
Oh, Ballad of John and Yoko?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. Bingo. Bingo.
There you go. See? And thank you very much, Mick. Thank you very much, Mick. He was going to play it. There you go, Mick. I brought him back. I had to. You deserved it. All of you guys deserve to learn that there's a Mick out there. There's a Mick out there who sings Beatles songs to his hairstyle, to his hairdresser. Who's out there sitting right now listening to the radio. Listening to the radio at 2 o'clock in the morning with the guitar ready, and as soon as he heard Big Mac talking about Julia, he had to call in and ask more Beatles trivia, like Paul's first name. You think you're going to trip me up on Paul McCartney's first name? Huh? Come on, that's even you got to bring it more than that, Mick. You can't insult me with what's Paul's first name.
Hey, you avoided the question about which song was only, what'd he say? I don't even
remember. Yeah, well, I got the answer at the end. 877-337-6666. I don't know how that went, but I felt like I had to do it. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll come back. We'll talk some sports because there is a certain Yankee, as we'll get into baseball a little bit here, there is a certain Yankee who is being completely disrespected. And it's about time we talk about him. 877-337-6666. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Come back with more of your phone calls right here on The Fan. All right, 2:30. Mick Monagle here with the 877-337-6666. About almost halfway through right now. Our five-hour midnight ride taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. 877-337-6666. There goes my hero. All right, Mick is my new hero. It does make me feel good that because that's going to be me. I mean, I have the songbook too. There's two volumes of the Beatles songbook with the chords and the lyrics. I have both of them. They were my father's. I have them. They're, you know, it's every single song. You got to go, if you're a real musician, you have to go through the Beatles catalog. You have to. You have to learn the Beatles songs.
Do you play an instrument?
I don't. No. I play guitar like a little bit, but no, not really. My father did. He was a musician. But so I just said it because I have them because he had them. But as musicians, you have to go through the songbook. But that's going to be me. I'll probably, at some point when I retire, try and find some time to teach myself the guitar. I'll be sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning, drinking martinis, going through my Beatles songbook. Sounds very much like, especially on a night with no Yankees, sounds exactly like what I would be doing. 877 877-
and some 4 year olds right now is going to be hosting the overnight.
Three, seven, four year olds right now is going to be hosting the overnight. That's true. I don't know if it's going to be one of my kids. They don't seem to have any interest whatsoever. Like, they have no interest. Like, they had, like, parent, you know, one of the things where the parents come in or whatever, and one of the guys was a firefighter. And I was just like, I wish you were a firefighter. I'm like, well, that's, don't get me wrong. It's a fantastic, noble profession. They are heroes. But, like, you know, to host on the radio is pretty cool, isn't it? No. You should change jobs. I'm like, okay, I'll change jobs. What else do you find interesting? I'll do whatever you want. Just shush, please. Give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes of quiet. I'll do whatever you want. I'll go be whatever you want. I'll go be, I swear, I'll do anything. I'll go carve the number two into pencils. I don't care, please. Just shush for 5 minutes and stop hitting each other.
I've asked BT about this, though, like, because they'll start to realize if when they go to games with you that people are stopping you. Like, at some point, they'll appreciate that. I asked that about, like, BT when he takes his kid to games and stuff. Yeah. And people stop him. And he said, like, yeah, obviously, as they got older, they understood that.
Yeah, a little bit. It's happened a couple times with him around already, so he's seen it. And he'll ask me, how did that guy know you? And I'm like,
old friend.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I used to date his sister. Don't tell your mother.
You could try comedian if this doesn't work out.
877-337-6666. So I mentioned, yeah, there is a Yankee that I'm starting to think is really getting a lot of, I mean, it's not a lot of flack. He's gotten, you know, very little here, but this is a guy who's dominant. And I will still hear from Yankee fans that they can't win with him. Like, even the other night, he's come in, and since he's been a Yankee, if you look at his numbers, Clay Holmes is as good a reliever as there is in baseball. Right now, he has a zero ERA in 9 appearances. Have some of them been shaky? Have some of them needed good defense? Yeah, sure. He's got a zero ERA, hasn't blown a save. And if you look at his numbers, his ground ball rate is 73%. It's very hard to hit him in the air. He doesn't give up home runs. And if you look at Hader, who just got $100 million, like, if you look at these other major league, other top relievers, since Clay Holmes has been a Yankee, he's right there with all of them. He is. His numbers are right there. He's in the top 5 closer in almost every category. And yet still, Yankee fans will tell me they can't win with Clay Holmes as their closer. They don't trust Clay Holmes. They need to go attack the closer market at the trade deadline because they can't win a championship with Clay Holmes. And I understand he gets soft contact, and that leads to sometimes little infield singles, or he doesn't get enough swing and misses, and you want more swing and misses from your closer, and when you put the ball in play, anything could happen. I don't care. He's been flat out dominant. And I think it's I don't know why. He had a stretch in 2022 where he was awful for about a month. Awful. Couldn't get an out. Awful. And besides that, he's been really good and really consistent. And there's a handful of blown saves. Every closer has them. Every closer has them. And yet, so many Yankee fans tell me they can't win with him. So many Yankee fans, oh, they got to figure out something with Clay Holmes. So many Yankee fans, when I say, hey, he hasn't blown a save, yeah, but did you watch him? Yeah, I watched him. They won those games. He's a closer who puts guys on base occasionally. Oh, wow. Get out of here. The guy's been utterly brilliant. And he's not talked about or thought of inside, forget all baseball circles, inside Yankee circles from Yankee fans as a top-notch reliever, which is exactly what he is. And I constantly get tweets. Every time he gives up a hit. Even I got one the other day when they won that game when they're up 2 runs. He comes in against the middle of the order of the Toronto Blue Jays, And, oh, yeah, yeah, Anthony Volpe has to make a great play. Otherwise, where's that inning going? Like, seriously? Seriously? I don't think the Yankees have a closer problem. I think the Yankees have a damn good closer. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Agreeing 1,000% with you, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that game, there were five ground balls that were botched.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, what did they give him, like five outs in the inning?
Yeah, and he still got out of it.
It was something crazy like that. But you know what? He's a guy. Holmes is a guy. He's a different type of pitcher. And let's face it. How many years of Mariano was it? 19 or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
whatever
we
were
spoiled by Mariano.
Right. Whatever the number of years was, I mean, unless you remember what happened before Mariano, you know, a lot of people, no one ever heard anybody except John, right? Well, a lot of people. How come these guys aren't like automatic the way Mariano was? Because Mariano was the, you know, unicorn. I'm not, you know, the whatever.
Yeah.
Of relief pitches. He threw one pitch that no one could hit.
Right.
And everyone knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean,
no,
you're
I know.
Not going to. You know,
and even Mariano. And Steve, I'm sorry, but when you talk, your phone gets a little wonky. Thank you for the call. And even Mariano. Let's be totally honest. Mariano gives up the home run in 97 to Alomar. That loses the game. 2001, I just talked about that series. They have Mariano Rivera on the mound with a one-run lead to win their fourth World Series in a row. He blows it. He throws the ball away and fielding a bunt. And blows the game. 2004. Blows the game against the Red Sox. Mariano blew games. He's the greatest to ever do it. He still blew games. Big games. Championship games. And I'm not trying to tell you, you're right, we're a little spoiled here, but people talk about Clay Holmes like they can't with him. He's a top five closer in baseball. How much better are you going to get? Who are you going to trade for? Who are you going to trade for? What closer on the market's going to be available that's better than Clay Holmes? He doesn't strike people out at a great clip. He doesn't. And sometimes he comes in and he has no idea where it's going. But that's been fairly few and far between. And this year hasn't been at all. And I still get Yankee fans telling me they can't win. Can't win with him. Need a new closer. Can't win with Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes is a major problem. If Clay Holmes is the Yankees' problem, then they are better off than you think. Rob in Tampa. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. So I just wanted to call in. I was out earlier with a buddy of mine, another diehard Yankee fan, and we're going through, like, retired Yankees, retired numbers, stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, who belongs in Monument Park? And you know, we came along A-Rod, and I'm a big A-Rod guy. You know, I was born in 93. I'm 30 years old. You know, I remember in 03, 04 when they brought him in. But you know, you look at his body of work, you look at it, you know, 12 years with the Yankees, two MVPs, a World Series championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta say, as a you know, a 30 year old Yankee fan, I was a little offended a few years ago when they brought Gallo in and he was wearing number 13.
Yep.
You know, I was upset. I was a little disgusted. I was like, this guy can't shine A-Rod's shoes. Great player, all-time great. And basically, I wanted to call in and be like, what's the criteria with you to what makes a player in Yankees land worthy of having their number retired? Because in my head,
mm-hmm.
number 13 should be retired. A-Rod's number should be retired. I mean, come on. If you look at his numbers, he's one of the best Yankees statistically of all time. He stacks up with all the greats who all have their numbers retired. Two MVPs, all-time great. You know, came to the Yankees better shortstop than A-Rod in the field.
Jeter.
Took third base, played a great third base. You know, what's the criteria for you to have? Well, I mean, his number should be retired. Do you agree or no?
100%. I agree. 100%. Okay. I agree. And first of all, I mean, you missed this. We had A-Rod Day. I'm literally staring at the banner.
But that was a fan. That
February 16th. I know, but I'm just saying that was the day to call. But yes, I agree 100%. Alex Rodriguez, and I said it then during this A-Rod Day back in February, and I'll say it again. There's no doubt in my mind. Alex Rodriguez deserves to have his number retired without question. There's no now, because of the criteria that has already been set by the New York Yankees. If Reggie Jackson is a retired number inside, if Reggie Jackson's number is retired, how the hell is Alex Rodriguez's number not retired?
Well, I mean, why is Roger Maris's number retired?
Agreed.
I mean, he played, what, five years with the Yankees?
Agreed.
You know,
Alex Rodriguez played more than a decade with the Yankees. He won two MVPs and a World Series title. Name another player who won multiple MVPs, a World Series title, and played longer than a decade who's not retired by the New York Yankees.
What I think is, you know, say Aaron Judge, he won't, but say he retires tomorrow, mm-hmm. I guarantee you he gets his number retired. I guarantee you number 99.
It depends on the circumstance, but yeah, probably. I mean, I guess. But Alex, listen, you know why, though. You make it sound like you have no idea why. He sued the organization. He sued the team doctor. I mean, like, you know, he lied about taking steroids. He was suspended for a year because of steroids. I mean, there's plenty of reasons. Him and the team don't have a great relationship. There's plenty of reasons. So, we know why, but yes, I completely agree with you. Alex Rodriguez, without question, deserves to have his number retired. Now, if they would have made it harder, that's fine. If you had to be a homegrown Yankee who made it to the Hall of Fame, I'd be okay with you know, I guess they'd have to put Babe Ruth in. But, like, I'd be okay with Babe Ruth, Roger Maris. Obviously, I'm losing my mind here. Sometimes early in the morning I just lose it. Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Yogi Berra. I mean, if you wanted to just do that, I'd be fine with it. But the fact of the matter is you've let in a bunch of different guys. I mean, like, even guys we love. We mentioned him, Paul O'Neill. Paul O'Neill's number retired. I mean, who's the better player? Alex Rodriguez or Paul O'Neill?
Not even close.
It's not even close.
Not even close. So
Alex Rodriguez absolutely deserves to have his number retired.
So do you think it's a matter of if and not when? Like, do you think when he passes away? Like,
no, I don't know. I have no idea, Rob. I think it's pressing to you and your buddies discussing it, and we can have the conversation at 2:40 in the morning. It's fine. I don't think anyone cares. I don't think the Yankee cares. He's not beloved by the fan base. He might be beloved by you, and we had our day here, and I would, if a petition was put in front of me, I'd sign it, but I'm not going to storm the castle. I don't care. I really don't care that much. I think that's the problem. I don't think there's enough of an impetus. I don't think there's enough of an outcry. I don't think anyone cares, so I don't think the Yankees have to do it. Now, I agree. I think most people, especially the way Gallo became and how hated he became, and, you know, the face of the three true outcome player and the strikeouts and all that stuff, where I think most Yankee fans were upset to see 13 on him, I guess, on some level. But no, I don't think there's enough Yankee fans out there clamoring like you.
What's funny is he didn't even hear our conversation about homegrown versus non-homegrown athletes who came to New York.
Right. Well, I mean, Alex Rodriguez was already an MVP, and he wasn't beloved by the fan base at any point.
Right. He wouldn't qualify for that.
No, he doesn't qualify.
Even if he did ultimately go into the Hall of Fame or had his number retired, he wasn't at any point. He was never beloved.
Not like, no. He's Jalen Brunson already is more embraced without question than Alex Rodriguez. And I question why. I agree with him. He came over here as the star, and even listening to Derek Jeter talk about him, Derek Jeter acknowledges, like, I'm shocked that he came over here and acquiesced to me. He was a MVP winning shortstop, Gold Glove winning shortstop. He was a better shortstop than Derek Jeter. And he came over here and he moved over to third base and never once questioned it, never once wanted to go back, never once said, let me play shortstop. That was it. And honestly, the biggest failing of Derek Jeter's career, in my mind, as captain of the New York Yankees, was not being more willing to forgive and forget and help embrace Alex Rodriguez to the team and the fan base. I think that's his biggest failing. He held a grudge against Alex Rodriguez about some stupid article. And who am I to say it was some stupid article? You feel like your friend betrayed you, it pissed him off. That's fine. But then he became teammates and you're captain of the team. And it's up to you to make sure that everybody feels welcome. And I think it's his biggest failing. Now, it's not worth, it doesn't mean I don't love him. I love Derek Jeter. But that's, as captain, I think that was his biggest failing. He should have made sure to try and help Alex Rodriguez feel at home because they needed him to be great. And he was. And he won two MVPs. He was here for 12 years. He played a gold glove caliber third base. He is the driving force, 100% the main reason they won a championship in 09. If 100%, if Reggie Jackson has his number retired, if Roger Maris has his number retired, then there is no reason why Alex Rodriguez does not have his number retired. There's no question. John in Ridgefield. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. I didn't know if you still wanted to talk about the Beatles.
Yeah, that's fine. We can take a quick Beatles. I mean, it's a catch 22. I have fun with it, but at the same time, I don't know how many, you know, it's a sports show. I'm not sure how many people really want to hear us talk Beatles, but we could do it a little bit. Sure.
Okay. Well, I just got a trivia question.
Go ahead. Shoot it at me. Just if I don't know it, don't sound condescending and don't sound like you stumped the Schwab, okay? It's not that big a deal.
It's a tough one, though. And if you get it, you'll be the first one to get it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Only one Beatles song, and this isn't like the Julia thing.
Okay.
Only one Beatles song is credited as having been written by Lennon, McCartney, and Starkey. Ringo, in other words. Only one song. for those non-Beatle fans out there, I know you know.
He's got his name in the writing title?
Yeah. The only song in the whole Beatle catalog that says Lennon, McCartney, Starkey. Like, there was a couple of songs where all four of them were credited, but there's only one with three of them. Those three. I know, it's tough, right? And the only reason I know it is because I'm 69, so, you know, I'm a huge Beatle fan.
Right.
And I used to read all the credits, and I look at the albums and Brent.
I'm trying to think. I think most of the songs he wrote, he just got credit for, like Don't Pass Me By or Octopus's Garden.
Right. Those two, he got sole credit. Even though George helped him with Octopus's Garden.
Yeah. I guess there's a chance, because I'm unaware of it, that it would be Yellow Submarine when it was released on the Yellow Submarine album, not the Revolver album.
Nah.
Or
It is sung by Ringo.
Good Night on.
Nah. It's a real obscure song. And it is sung by Ringo.
Give me Early or Late in the.
It was on the 65.
And it's sung by Ringo.
Yeah.
And it's not I Want to Be Your Man. That's too early.
No, that was Lennon McCartney. Did you know the Stones did an early version of that, by the way?
Yeah, that was one of their first number one hits was I Want to Be Your Man.
I didn't know that until much later.
Yeah, no. I haven't mentioned it. I'm trying to think.
Oh, I don't think so. I can't say for sure.
All right, go ahead. Just give it to me.
What goes on in your heart?
What goes on in your mind? I guess. I didn't know that. I did not know that Ringo got credit for that song. I did not know that. You got me on that one.
Even though he says he probably only contributed like two or three lines.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess they were in a magnanimous mood.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's a good one, John. I did not know that. You are tearing me apart. All right, Mark in Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
Hey, C-Mac, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Great. I'm in the car with my boys. We all love you.
Oh, so, thank you very much. You're in the car with your boys at 2:50? What are you guys doing? Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm coming back from a party with friends.
From the clubs.
All right, what's going on?
I wanted to make the case that Clay Holmes should possibly, if there's a better closer on the market, he should be put in the eighth inning because he doesn't strike out as many people. And the real problem is he gets wild. When he gets wild, he just goes into these phases. He hits batters,
yes.
Walks down wild pitches, And it's just very, very uncomfortable going into the ninth inning with the closer. Usually he's good. Not usually,
almost exclusively.
But in 2022,
yeah.
He had a lights out first half, and then he went a couple week phase where he was just
awful.
Wild.
Yes.
So that's what I'm worried about.
No,
I want to win the championship this year. I don't want to be worried about such stuff. So if there's a closer available, I like to put him in the eighth inning if possible.
All right, so it's okay for him to come in and be wild in the eighth inning and be all over the place?
I don't want him to be my best option. That's the point.
I understand, but I'm just better. Look at his nut. He's you're talking about. I mean, what's the? It's just as likely, guy. You're right. He comes in and he's wild. There's no doubt. And you could tell from early on he doesn't have it, which actually benefits them in my mind because you can realize it and get rid of it. But what's the difference between if he comes in and he's wild and blows a game as often as any other closer comes in and gives up a single and a home run? What's the difference how he blows it? Because I'll be totally honest with you, if you look at it now, it's a long stretch. He's been here since 2021. His numbers are as good as any reliever in baseball. He is right there.
And he doesn't give up home runs.
So, like, I don't know. Like, now you're just talking about the way he blows the few games he blows. Like, okay, you're right. He comes in, he's wild, and he just doesn't have it from the jump. And it's one of those things. But, I mean, that's few and far between. It's not like it happens that often. He did have that stretch that you're talking about. And I mentioned it. 100%. It was more than a few weeks. It felt like a month and a half in the second half of 22 after the All-Star game where he was awful on a nightly basis. You couldn't bring him in. He was terrible. He lost the closer job. He was terrible. Other than that, and there have been games, of course, he comes in, he's wild. But other than that, I mean, he's been about as good as any reliever. Like, I don't know what you want. I understand. Here's the two issues. He's wild, yes. He's got a sinker that on occasion he can't control. And he gives up soft contact and doesn't strike out guys. And soft contact can lead to these kind of innings where it's an infield single. It's, you know, a tough play and there's a ball in the dirt that Rizzo doesn't pick up. And suddenly there's a runner on a squibber that you're like, geez, he made his pitch. Like, that's the point. And I think I heard John Boy say this, and this is the best way it's put. He could be on his best and make his best pitch, and it still can be beat. Like when Edwin Diaz throws his slider, you ain't hitting it. When he's got his good stuff, he's striking you out. When Clay Holmes has got his good stuff, you got a chance for an infield single that's a very frustrating start to an inning. But if you look at it, over a large sample size now, going back to the second to the after the trade deadline of 21, he has been as good as any reliever in baseball as a New York Yankee. And I don't care how he blows it, if he blows it at the same pace as the best in the league, if his numbers are as good as anybody, why do I care how the bad outings come? Would you rather have a closer who's pinpoint control but gives up home runs? What's the difference? If he was wild more of the time and that led to more issues and more runs given up and more, you know, disasters, then yeah, fine. Okay, that's the problem. But it's been a large enough sample size to look at it. I'm not telling you he's great. I'm not telling you I feel uber confident every time he takes the mound. What I'm telling you is go find a better one. And to say the Yankees can't win with him is to say a lot of teams can't win. Because he's as good as any. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you. I see the calls. Continue to take them. We'll get into the Rangers. We'll get back to the Knicks. We'll get back to the NFL draft and how I think the Giants should take a quarterback. And I don't believe Joe Shane when he tells you he is comfortable with the quarterback room, because I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable. And I don't know how someone whose job is on the line, whose career is on the line, who's got Bill Belichick waiting in the wings, could be comfortable with a room of Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and a banged-up, injury-prone Daniel Jones. How could you be comfortable with that room with your career on the line. I don't believe it. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Come back with your phone calls next.